I want you to open your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 13. Genesis, chapter 13. I was out of town last week, Monday night, when the school did their concert, and I was disappointed that I didn't get to hear the whole thing. But I did hear bits and pieces of it on a tape, and when I heard you heard of the Blackwood Brothers? Well, that was the Backwoods Brothers that were up here tonight. When I heard the quartet do that thing where they got a joke on Mrs. Beard, and I don't know why they have to pick on me, but. Hurt my feelings, but anyway, I thought, you know, you guys would get a kick out of that, so I asked them to do that. So if you're gonna blame anybody, blame me. But I thought you'd enjoy it. I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, and when you could see Mrs. Beard's face, this blood red, I enjoyed that, and I thought that was wonderful. But the kids did a great job, and we thank the Lord for their willingness to come and sing tonight. So thank you guys for coming. All right, I want you to notice with me, please, verse 10. And I'm going to read down to the end of the chapter. I want you to keep your Bible open, and I'm going to refer to the verses several times. We're going to look tonight at what I think is going to kind of build on what I preached on this morning, I hope. In the 10th verse, the Bible says, And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I want you to go back there for a minute. Look at this. And Lot lifted up his eyes. He lifted up his eyes. Now, keep that in your minds, all right? And it says... It says in verse 11, Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, eastward and westward. Now, here's Lot, and he lifted up his own eyes, and he saw the plain of Sodom, and he decided he wanted to live there. And now here's the Lord saying to Abram, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, look to the north, to the south, to the east, and the west. Verse 15, For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. What a promise that is. Now that promise has yet to be fulfilled. You do understand that. When you see the fighting that's going on over in the Middle East today, that fighting is going on over this promise. That's what the fighting is all about in Israel today. For the lamb which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. That's the Jews. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. I want to speak to you tonight on this subject. Lift up now thine eyes. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for the service thus far. Lord, it's been a blessing to hear the congregational singing and to hear the choir and the young people and the special music. What a beautiful piece that was. And Lord, we thank you for the special and to be reminded of our Savior and what He has done for us and what He's going to do for us. And now, Lord, as we open the Scriptures and look at Your Word, I pray Your richest blessings to be upon it. And Lord, I pray You'll help me as I speak. You know the burden that is on my heart tonight. You know that which I want to communicate. So I pray that You will bless and help me and enable me to get the thought across that, Lord, You might be honored and glorified in it. I pray that You'll speak to every heart. And Lord, light a fire in our bones. Get us, Lord, to the place where we have a desire to want to do something for You. So, Father, bless tonight. We commit our time to You and ask for Your richest blessings to be upon it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll remember back in the beginning of the 12th chapter, God spoke to Abram and told him to leave his home in Ur, in the land of the Chaldeans, and to go to a land that he had never seen before. He didn't even know where this land was located. He just knew that God had spoken to him and that God told him, get up and get out and go to a land. And the point was that when he got to this land and was at the place where God wanted him, God would reveal it and he would know that he had obeyed the Lord. And so you continue reading in the chapter. And you read in that 12th chapter that Abraham had faith in God. And he believed the word of the Lord. He believed what God had said. And by faith, Abram obeyed the word of God. And he went on a long journey to a place where he did not even know where he was going, but he was obedient to God. Now the words that I have chosen as a text tonight come after he has already arrived in the place where God wanted him to go. He then speaks the Lord speaks to Abram, and the words that I have chosen as a text tonight stand in direct contrast to the statement found in the 10th verse where the Bible says that Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the well-watered plains of Sodom. After a survey of the land, Lot moved east to the plain of Jordan to live in the circle of five cities, the city that surrounded the Dead Sea, the city of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboam, and Bela. And Abram remained, however, in Bethel. Now, Bethel means the house of God. Beth is Hebrew for house, and El is Hebrew for God. You put the two together and you get Bethel, the house of God. And it's not a coincidence that Abraham was in the house of God in Bethel when God spoke to him and revealed to him the promise that all of that land that he could see by faith belonged unto him. Folks, you can't go wrong being in the house of God. It was in the house of God that the Lord came to him and said to him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art. Now, I want you to know that Abram would not have been given the light of chapter 13, verse 14. He would not have been given that light from God, that revelation from God, that promise from God, had he not first been obedient in the 12th chapter and walked in the first light that God had given him. In chapter 12, when God first spoke to him, probably years before, and told him to get out of his hometown, of the place of his birth, of the place of his childhood, the place of his teen years, the place of his adulthood, God said, get up and get out of that land and go to a land where I'll show you. And had he not been obedient and done what God said, God never would have revealed to him the promises that he gives him in this 13th chapter. So that goes along with what I said to you this morning. Folks, listen, we've got to walk in the light that God has already given us. And that's what the Christian life is all about. When you break the Christian life down, it's not as difficult as we try to make it. It is really quite simple. It is a matter of me as a Christian reading the Bible, getting light from God, and then obeying, walking in that light. That's what Abraham did, and he became known as one of the greatest men of faith in all of the Bible. He became known as the friend of God. And that's how we can become men of faith and friends of God. I often hear folks say, "Well, you know, Pastor, God just doesn't lead me where to go." Well, if that's the case, you must not be reading your Bible. Because my Bible is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And both of those pictures have to do with somebody walking. They have to do with somebody that is taking a journey. "Well, God doesn't lead me." Well, folks, listen, you've got to get in the book if you're going to have God to lead you. You see, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 12 tells us that God in these last days has spoken unto us by His Word. God's not going to speak to you through Oprah. You can grin, it's all right. God's not going to speak to you through Dr. Phil. God is going to speak to you through His Word. God is not going to use His hand and write you a message on the wall. God is not going to use dreams and visions and revelations to command your steps. We have a more sure word of prophecy. God's eternal, infallible, immutable, and immortal word is how God communicates with us today. Now, what is the underlying key to Abram's victory? Well, it's his faith. It's his faith. God spoke to him and he had faith in the Word of God. Faith in God's Word was why Abram was able to do what the Lord said that he was to do. He simply heard what God said and he believed God, he trusted God, and then he did what God told him to do. Now, from this passage of Scripture, I want to see if we can glean some things that will be of value to us tonight. There are a couple of things I want you to see. Three things, as a matter of fact. First of all, I want you to look with me at the command itself. The command itself. It's found in the 14th verse, and it's that one little phrase, "Lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, eastward and westward." The command is really a simple command. It is so perfectly simple, even a child could understand it. God simply said to Abraham, "Abraham, lift up now your eyes and look." That's all it is. Folks, that's all faith is. It's looking unto the Lord and simply trusting in what you see. God simply told him to look to the north, look to the south, look to the east, and look to the west. And we immediately see that he was told to look in all directions. But the command becomes more than simple. It becomes significant if we break it down and lay emphasis upon its main points. There are two main thoughts in this command. First of all, we see the simple word "now." Lift up now thine eyes. Lift up now. Again, let me stress to you that all Abraham was enjoying and experiencing was the result of being faithful and believing God's Word. He was in the city of Ur, his hometown, the land of his birth, the land of where he grew up, the land he had lived all his life. And suddenly the Lord speaks to his heart and tells him to pack up everything and leave. Can you imagine if God did that to you, what your reaction would be? And here's Abraham. I'm sure that he questioned and said, "Well, Lord, where do you want me to go?" And the Lord responded, "I want you to go where I'll show you when you get there." Isn't that something? You just get up and go. Lord, where am I going? I'll show you when you get there. Folks, I'm telling you, it took faith on this man's part. But God was trying to show us this is written for our benefit. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The just shall live by faith. And here, God puts in the Bible one of the greatest examples of faith that you're going to find anywhere. Get up and get out. Where am I going? When you get there, I'll tell you. And what did he do? He got up and he got out. He just simply did what the Lord told him to do. I wonder how many of us sit service after service after service and we listen to the Word of God and we hear that little knock as the Lord is saying, hey, I just want you to go. I want you to follow me. I want to lead you. I want to take you somewhere. And we sit there and say, oh, no, Lord, don't bother me. I'm busy. Lord, go speak to somebody else. And we don't realize, we don't understand that God speaks, I think, a whole lot more than any of us are willing to listen. I honestly believe that, folks. You see, God wants something out of your life and mine. God wants us to do something. God did not just save us so we could go to heaven one of these days. That is a good byproduct of salvation. But folks, God saved us so we can serve Him until we get to heaven. If the only reason God saved you was to get you to heaven someday, it would stand to reason that He would just kill you the moment you get saved and then take you on to heaven, does it not? But you see, there's a whole world out here that is lost and needs the same Jesus that saved you, and so He leaves us here so we will trust Him and walk by faith and let Him lead us so that we can be instrumental in leading other people to Christ. God wants all of us to do something. Whatever else faith is, it is active. It is moving. It is progressing. Far too many Christians are content to have their sins forgiven and to be going to heaven, but that's just about all the faith that they're going to exercise in God. Folks, you look at the average Christian in America today, and here's what you'll see. You'll see somebody that gets saved from their sin, and they get all excited about their new salvation, and they're coming to church, and they're reading their Bible, and they start to grow as a Christian. Their faith grows, and then the struggles begin. You know, the devil is going to make sure that your journey to heaven is met with a great deal of opposition. Now, here you are, you're newly saved, and you're growing, and you're coming to church, and you're hearing the Word of God, and you're reading the Word of God, and you start to grow as a Christian. The devil comes after you, and you dig deeper into the Word and trusting God for strength. That, think about invitation time, as I mentioned this morning in the second service. Who is it that regularly visits the altar in our churches? It's the new Christians. Who is it that regularly comes with a broken heart and with a contrite spirit when we give the invitation in our churches? It's the newly saved people. Now, as I said this morning, don't worry about them. Let them hang around the rest of us for a little while. They'll learn how to behave as Christians, and they'll stop that foolishness. Just be patient. But you'll look around and you'll notice it. It's the new Christians that visit the altar. And what's happening? Well, the Lord starts to deal with their heart. They've been saved a year, 2 years, and they're growing, and they're battling temptation, they're battling trial. The devil's after them, but they're in the book, and they're growing, and then all of a sudden, the Lord starts to deal with their heart about some area of service. God starts to deal with them about working as a bus captain, or perhaps taking the soul winners club, or maybe it's the matter of tithing. Or maybe it's teaching a Sunday school class. Or maybe the Holy Spirit starts to stir their heart about joining the choir and singing in the choir. And that Christian then is on very dangerous ground at that point. Very dangerous ground. Because right there is where a decision is going to be made that is going to determine your growth in the future. Right there is a decision that you are about to make that is going to tell the Lord and is going to tell everybody else just exactly how much faith you have in the Lord. And so God begins to deal, and all of a sudden you say, Lord, I want to do what you're leading me to do, but I'm so busy. Folks, I don't care how busy you are, you shouldn't be too busy to serve the Lord. And so you sit there and you say, Lord, I sure would like to do what you're leading me to do, but I'm just so busy. And folks, at that moment, at the moment that we say no to God's leading in our lives, that is the moment that our growth as a Christian stops. It is at that very moment that our development and our maturity in the Lord stops. You'll soon find it difficult to read your Bible, whereas before it was a joy to read the Bible. You'll soon find it difficult to get back to church on Sunday night. You'll soon find it difficult to come out to visitation because all of a sudden your growth has stopped. Abraham traveled hundreds of miles from Ur to get to Bethel. He traveled hundreds of miles. Folks, he didn't go by luxury liner either. He traveled by camel. And those things stink. He did not have first-class accommodations. He traveled hundreds of miles, and I can see him now as he's on his journey, and he passes some guy going the other direction, and the fellow says, hey, buddy, where are you headed? And Abraham looks at him and says, I don't know, sir. He said, what? You don't know where you're going? Well, how are you going to know when you get where you're going? And Abraham smiles and says, believe me, sir, I will know when I get where I'm supposed to be, for I have faith in the one who is leading me. And folks, that's what the Christian life is all about. It is you and I as believers in Christ. It is us having faith in God. Let me tell you something. God is not going to lead you to do something that you cannot do. God is not going to lead you to perform a ministry or to perform a task for Him that you do not have the ability to do. I never will forget when the Lord was calling me to preach. I was 17 years old, and I did not want to be a preacher. That was the farthest thing from my mind. I did not want to do that at all. And I remember sitting there talking to my best friend about the matter. And he looked at me and he said, you know, if the Lord's calling you, He will help you. And I said, would you be quiet? I do not want your opinion. And he said, well, you know I'm right. And I said, yes, I do, but I just don't want to be a preacher. And I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I did not for the life of me ever think that I would be able to stand for 50 minutes to an hour and speak in front of a bunch of people. I mean, I never in my wildest dreams ever thought I could do anything like that. And I to this day, many of you will shake my hand before the service and you'll say, oh, your hands are cold. There's a reason my hands are cold. I'm nervous. You say, you can't be nervous. You've been preaching all these years in front of all these people for good night. How could you be nervous? Folks, trust me, I've never gotten used to standing. Now, once I'm up here and get going, I'm fine. But the 30 minutes that it takes from the opening song to where I walk up here, I am nervous. But yet, it was God that provided. I never forget the first Sunday in the first church that I pastored. I mean, I was a nervous wreck. I could not sleep the night before. I only had about 36 people in the service that day, but it may as well have been 10,036. And I was so nervous that I couldn't sleep. I didn't want to eat anything, and I was just a nervous wreck. But I remember the feeling that once I got up there, read the scripture, said the prayer, and started through my introduction, all of a sudden the fear went away, and I just cut loose and started preaching and had myself a time. You see, God provides. If God leads you, just like He did with Abraham, when God leads you, mark it down, God is going to be there and He will guide and direct and assist. And with when He calls you to do something, He equips you to do that. All right, you got that? So you see, the simple command becomes significant when we have faith to believe in the Lord. You say, well, you know, Pastor, they need a bus worker. They need a Sunday school teacher. I've heard them make the announcement, and I just don't know if I can do it. Well, the simple command becomes a significant command when it's obeyed. You want God's blessings on your life? Do what God's leading you to do. Just do what God's leading you to do. The second phrase that we have, we saw the first phrase was the word now. Simple word, now, lift up now. And where was he? In Bethel, in the house of God. Folks, listen. My, I could stop here for a good 2 hours. There's no place like the house of God. I mean, God does His work through the church. You need to be in God's house. The second phrase, look at verse 14, look at it. He said, lift up now, but there's a second phrase, from the place where thou art. You see, this is what God wants to do with each of us. He wants to take us, listen to me now, He wants to take us from where we are now to where He wants us to be. You see that? He wants to take us from where we are to where He wants us to be. And this is what the Christian life is all about. You know, I hear these churches, but you also hear these colleges, and they'll say, well, bless God, we're the same we were 75 years ago. I don't think I'd say that if I were you. Man, I'm not the same I was 25 years ago. I got some sermons I preached 25 years ago. I would kill you before I'd let you listen to them. I'd kill you in Christian love, but I'd kill you before I'd let you listen to them. Every now and then I'll run across one of those old tapes from where I'm pastoring down Dixie. I'll stick it in and listen to it. I'll say, oh my goodness, you're a heretic. You certainly didn't believe that. Unreal. Folks, we got to be growing. We've got to be growing. I mean, listen, the second phrase, from the place where thou art. You are right here tonight. But wait a minute. God wants to take you somewhere. God wants to lead. God wants to work in your life. And this is what the Christian life is all about. Going from Ur to Bethel was the will of God for Abraham. And God wants to take each and every one of us from our Ur, where we are right now, to Bethel, where He wants us to be. And this is a walk of faith that God wants every believer to take. Christian, lift up now thine eyes. Where do you think God would like to take you? Well, you can be assured that God wants to take you from where you are right now to the place where He wants you to be, and there He will reveal to you His will. You know, you sometimes run into folks, you know, or you're trying to help folks or whatever. Sometimes, you know, and Pastor, can you help me? Well, what's the problem? Well, I got this temper. Say, put her there. We all do. What? I said, put her there. We all do. You got a temper? We all got a temper. Now, there, some of us have a little shorter fuse to that temper than others, but yes, we've all, it's called a part of your sin nature. They'll come up and say, Pastor, can you help me? Well, Mike, what's up? I got this anger problem. Yep, join the club. Here, I'm president of that anger. Let me shake your hand. What? You got an anger problem? Yeah, we all do. Take your halo off. Put it under the pew. We're getting blinded by its glory. We all do. But you see, Here's the key. Now watch. A lot of us, when we got saved, God started dealing with us about that temper. When we got saved, God started dealing with us about that tongue that we couldn't control. When we got saved, God started dealing with those anger issues that were buried down deep. And you know what? God said, here you are in Ur, but I want to take you over here to Bethel. You want to go along with me? And most of us said, yes, we want to go. And by faith, we started on the journey. And now that we're over here in Bethel, it's not to say that we don't ever get angry. Sometimes that thing rises up, doesn't it? But what do? We get control of it. We don't grab somebody around the throat. We don't start throwing things. We don't lose it. Why? Because we've learned through the walk of faith how to handle life. So I can't help it. That's just the way I am. I know. And we have an altar up here that we have built specifically for folks just like you. I mean, all you got to do is just come up here to this altar and put your all on the altar and let God take care of those things for you. So I need some therapy. No, you don't. You need some Bible. Well, I need some counseling. No, you don't. You need some Bible. You need to get on the road from Ur to Bethel is what you need to do. All right, that's point one. Number two. Notice with me, when he obeyed, what did he see? When he obeyed, what did he see? God told him, lift up his eyes that day. And when he did, what did he see? Well, you say he saw north and south and east and west. All right, very good. Very good. But now let's take it a little step further. What did he see? Folks, listen to me. Look at me. When he lifted his eyes and looked north, south, east, and west, what he saw were lands that belonged to somebody else. Right? I mean, he looked east, he saw the land that belonged to Lot. He gave it to Lot. He said, okay, Lot, you go that way. All that's yours. I'll go over here. I'll stay out of your hair. Technically, he could not go to the east without trespassing. We're also told that the Canaanites lived in the land. The Canaanites lived in the land. So as Abram stood in Bethel and looked in all four directions, the simple truth of the matter is he was standing in and looking at land that belonged to others. Not a single foot of that land belonged to him. Now that is what he saw with his physical eyes when he looked north, south, east, and west. Right? But what did he see spiritually? What did he see through his eyes of faith? What did he see by faith? By faith, he saw the entire land as belonging to him. It was all given to him by the one who created it. Just as Abram had given Lot the land that he chose, God had given to Abram every inch of that land that his eyes could see, and even that which he could not see. Now, what were its effects upon Abram? Notice what he did. In verse 18, he marched from Bethel to Hebron. The Lord told him to arise and walk through the length of it in verse 17. Arise and walk through the length and the breadth of the land. This is a poetic way of saying that he was to walk through the strategic points of the land. He was to survey it. Bethel was about the same distance north of Jerusalem as Hebron was south of Jerusalem. And the journey from Bethel to Hebron would have taken him right through the strategic heart of the land that God promised him. God said, it's yours. Now walk through it. And he did. He just obeyed. He just did what he was told. Secondly, notice in verse 18 that when he got to Hebron, he settled down and made himself a home. He pitched his tent. made an altar, two abiding symbols of his relationship to the land and to his God. The tent was a symbol of his readiness to obey the divine command to either stay or move. God said, move, pack it up, take off. God said, stay, no problem, just keep it there and live in it. He could live the rest of his life in a tent if he needed to and be comfortable. That's what he lived in. The altar was the symbol of his relationship to God through sacrifice. The, folks, the point is, listen to me, whatever God told this man to do, that's what he did. He didn't sit and question God. He didn't sit and question, well, God, why do you want me to do that? Don't argue with God. You're not going to win, for one thing. But think about it. Abram really never possessed anything in the land except for a grave. Right? That's all he owned. When he died, his sons went and bought him a gravesite in a cave. And that's all he owned. You say, well, wait a minute. God said, lift up your eyes. I'm going to give you all this land. It was his by faith. As far as Abraham was concerned, from the great river Euphrates all the way to the great river of Egypt, the Nile, that was his land. It was his through faith. It wasn't his physically, but it was his through faith. And he did not have to physically possess even an inch of the land because through eyes of faith, that land was already given to him by God. Now, very quickly, number three, I want you to look at some of the results of a life of faith. I had about four things I was going to say here, but I ran out of room, so I only got one. So here it is. What's the result of a life of faith? Listen carefully, folks. When faith looks, things are seen to be not what they seem to be. Let me say it this way. Faith sees farther than man's sight can perceive. Here he is in a land that is full of Canaanites. He has no army. He's one man. When this was written, he doesn't even have a son. Oh, he's probably got some servants, and no, he had some nephews, some cousins probably. But he's not an army. He doesn't have this big, huge army. And here he is in this land, and he's a stranger in that land. The Canaanites, that's their home. He's a stranger in the land. He is a man that's not in the best of circumstances. He is a man in a hostile environment. Enemies of God are at every turn. Yet, through faith, he is a man who does not fear because he has a promise. Things are not as they appear. It appears Abram has no claim whatsoever on the land, but the truth of the matter is, he owns every inch of it. God's already given it to him. And here we are, living in a hostile world in 2006. The very foundations that are holding things up are crumbling around us. To faith, this is an hour when true civilization is seen hostile to every biblical principle revealed by God. With each passing day, our nation wobbles farther away from God. With each tick of the clock, our nation becomes more anti-God. Humanism, atheism, liberalism, the anti-God, the anti-Bible mentality grows stronger and stronger every day. Radical Islamists want to blow us off the map. They want to take over our country and force us to be Muslims. And if you don't submit, then you're a dead man. Humanistic politicians meet daily in Washington, D.C., and with each day remove more and more of our freedoms and take more and more of our money out of our pockets. Mark it down. It's a hostile world in which we live. I've said this before. I still believe it. I still believe it. Even after 7 years of George Bush, or 6 years, however many years it's been, I still believe it. If I live long enough and if Jesus tarries his coming, there is coming a day when I will not be able to do what I'm doing right now. I believe that. I believe that day is coming. If Jesus tarries his coming and I don't die of a heart attack first. I believe that. The truth is, the vision of sight fills our hearts with fear, does it not? When you think about the condition this country's in, it's scary. That's the vision of sight. But wait a minute. The vision of faith fills our hearts with a song. You see, we know what the book says. And we know that we're on the winning side. We know that victory is ours through Christ. We know that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Now, if you're saved, you have a promise. As Christians, we look at the world's stage and we see the mess that this world is in. We see China wanting the world to be communist. We see the Islamists wanting the world to be Muslim. We see Hollywood wanting the world to be filthy. We see Congress wanting the world to depend upon them for our every need. Through physical eyes, we might see a world that is so overwhelming, so vast, so powerful that we might feel like little old Abraham in Israel, just one little speck among so many enemies. But wait a minute, folks. Faith looks beyond all of that and sees a day coming. Faith looks beyond it all. Don't be whining around and pouting around and discouraged. Don't be focused upon the nasty now and now and lose sight of the sweet by and by. You've got a promise. And God is going to do good on that promise. Faith sees the clouds parting one of these days. Faith sees a white horse coming out of those clouds. Faith sees a sword in his hand. Faith sees the shield and the banner across his breast. Faith sees all of us riding behind him with smiles on our faces. You say, Pastor, I can't ride a horse. Yes, you will be able to. You're going to have your glorified body. Don't worry about it. And there you'll be riding right behind him. And faith sees him coming down and destroying the Antichrist. Faith sees him walking into the temple. Faith sees him sitting down upon the throne of God and saying, I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Faith sees the world bowing before him and saying, oh, he's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's what faith sees. Oh, to be sure, folks, there's victory found in a life of faith. You say, but Pastor, don't you know how bad it is? I know how bad it was for Abraham. At least we got each other. You know? I mean, we can rely upon one another. We get on the telephone and say, would you pray for me? Sure, I'll pray for you. We can go shake hands with one another and, man, it's good to see you. How are you? Abraham didn't have anybody. Don't you think he felt overwhelmed? But he had a promise. And by faith, he saw what others could not see. My friend, I want you to know, it may be rough. It may be, I know it's rough, but we're on the winning side. There may be some struggles along the way. Abraham had them. His faith was tested. Ours will be tested. Our faith's going to be tested. But God says, lift up now thine eyes. Right here tonight. Hey, Christian, lift up now thine eyes. Right here. Right here in your Bethel. Lift up now. Look to the north. Look to the south. Look to the east. Look to the west. God's already given you the victory. Reminds me of what God said to Joshua. He came down to the Jordan. And God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Uh-oh. What are we going to do now? Well, you don't serve Moses, you serve me. God said, you serve me, you don't serve Moses. You're not trusting in Moses, you trust me. And he said, now, Josh, here's the deal. I want you to go across this river. I'm going to part it for you so you can walk over on dry ground, just like I did the Red Sea. It was the flood plain, the flood stage at that time. That water was everywhere. Filled that whole valley. All the way up to the walls, probably to the walls of Jericho. And God said to him, I'm going to park this water. You go walk across. And he said, here's the deal, Josh. Every place that the sole of your foot shall touch, I have already given it to you. Not I'm going to give it to you when you touch it. No, right here before you ever leave, every place that your foot touches, I have right now already given it to you. Now, folks, with promises like that, what do we have to be discouraged about? She said, but Pastor, my loved one died. Yeah, but where did they go? But Pastor, I'm alone. No, you're not. The devil just wants you to think you're alone. You're not alone. You got a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. You see, the problem is, God speaks to us through the Word. And the reason why you think you're alone is because you're laying it over here. I guess it's alone. But you get in this book, you're going to find God right there by your side. You say, but Pastor, no, listen, don't butt. Goats butt, sheep follow. Amen. Just follow your God. And put your faith in Him. Let's pray together. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. No one looking around. Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Touch our hearts with Your Word. Give us that faith. Give us that burdened heart. Give us that revival desire in our hearts. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. No one looking around. Would you let God take you from where you are to where He wants you to be? You see, the key to that thing is faith. You just need to trust that God knows what He's doing. I know that I dare say without any reservation, God's dealing with some folks about church membership here. God's dealing with some folks about tithing. God's dealing with some folks about the bus ministry. God's dealing with some folks about the choir. You've been sitting here for several weeks now, and God's been dealing with you about your church attendance. My friend, I want you to know God's not going to take you someplace that's going to hurt you. God's going to take you down the road so He can bless you, use you, empower you. And so you can be a blessing to others. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many folks here tonight will say, Pastor, God's dealing with my heart tonight. I want you to pray for me. God's dealing with my heart. God is leading me from where I am to where He wants me to be. Pastor, pray for me. I need to walk down that road with God. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you all over this building tonight. Just lift your hand and hold it up. Let God speak. Let God work. Amen. Good, good, good. Amen. Good, good, good. God bless you folks. Amen. What a wonderful sight that is. It's a wonderful sight. All right. Father, You know our hearts tonight. And I pray that You'll deal with every heart in this building. Lord, give us understanding of what we have heard. Lord, I pray that we'll be able to see the pictures and see how it unfolds and see Your will and Your purpose for our lives. And dear Lord, we realize that we're just sinners saved by grace. We also realize, Lord, that without faith it's impossible to please You. And so, Lord, give us faith that no matter where You lead us, Your leading will be the right place. Give us faith to go with You. Lord, give us faith to step out and say, I'll go where You want me to go and I'll be what You want me to be. Lord, I pray for every person that raised their hand. Speak to their hearts tonight, Lord. May this altar be filled tonight. I pray for these young people. Lord, who knows but what You're not working in some teenage boy's heart tonight about going into the ministry. Lord, I pray that You might just make that clear. Call someone here tonight into the ministry. Lord, we pray for some young lady that perhaps You're dealing in her heart about the mission field or about surrendering to full-time service and being used by Your Spirit in some great way. Lord, just help us to step out by faith, to leave Ur of the Chaldees behind, go to Bethel, and find the will of God. Lord, bless tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.